بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليما. Zayd ibn Harisa radiyallahu was the adopted son of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had bought him off at the Surka Uqaz, and thereafter he had freed him and he had honored him in this way that if there was any expedition then he would have been appointed the Amir in that expedition, impressing upon us that in dini matters we need to see competence and we need to see capacity rather than seeing lineage. Who is most capable to accomplish that work, then we give him the honor of doing that work. Thereafter, he had got him married to his own cousin, Hazrat Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu anha. Hazrat Zainab bint Jahash is the blood cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, coming from a very respectable family. And Zayd bin Harisa radiallahu anhu, he's been a freed slave. So he's got the stigma attached against his name that he is a slave. And obviously, amongst people, he will not command that level of respect. No matter what you say, but he will not have that type of social respect as a free person will enjoy. Here she is a free person, and she is from the Quraysh, and from the family of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so you can imagine her social standing against Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu. There's two things that we need to reflect. One is zawajnaka. This verse continues zawajnaka likay la yakuna 'ala al-mu'minina haraj. One is this, that the style of the Quran and the hadith is that a woman shouldn't look for her own partner. Rather, she assigns this affair to her elders, to her guardian, parents, etc. They must see for her. That is why the hadith says, لا نكاح إلا بولي, that her wali, her guardian, and the one that is responsible for her, he must arrange this. We are not saying that if she doesn't go and follow this procedure, then she has entered into a haram relationship, but really it's not the right way. Now, one may ask, why is this not the right way that she finds her own suitor, her own partner? There are several reasons. The simple reason that appeal to us, one is this. A woman is less exposed to the happenings of the world. She doesn't know what's going on. Right? When she doesn't know what's going on, and she's looking for her own suitor, her own partner, her own spouse, then she's seen one dimension of the person, and the other dimension of the person was sealed up to her. So whatever she saw, she bought the person. Thereafter she discovers that this is the baggage that she has to put up with. At first instance, she couldn't see all this. Whereas a man has got the muscle, he's got the strength, he's got the capability to try and investigate. One person, second person. Everything is accessible to him. And to her, it's not accessible. She can't just walk onto a person's door and say, how is this person here? She can't do that. Her shame and her modesty will prevent her from doing such a thing. Man can do all these things. Right? Number two, when she's looking for her own partner, then the man also puts up his best front. When you're going for an interview, and the person that is going and giving his CV, he's giving his best. Right? But what he's really worth, what is his capacity, we don't know. Until we don't have a working relationship with the person, we don't know the person. So the man will give his best. When he wants the girl, then he'll do everything. And later on, then will the woman discover, okay, this is what this person has come up with. Right? So therefore Islam has ruled that she mustn't take control of this, leave it to her awliya, to her elders, her guardians, her parents, etc. They must take care of all these things. They must take control of all these things. Now, although this is a Khanqah program, and the Khanqah program is not supposed to be discussing all these type of things. Right? That's a general feel. But Hazrat Ibn Hamdan used to say that tasawwuf is not just confined to one narrow area. It's encompassing the entire deen. Sometimes Hazrat Ibn Hamdan used to discuss even political matters. And he would say that wo deen nahi jisme siyasat nahi. Or wo siyasat nahi jisme deen nahi. That politics not politics if there is no deen in it. And that deen is not deen if it doesn't also have the aspect of politics in it. But for our information, we need to understand when we speak about politics, then it isn't the distorted meaning of politics as we understand. Today, when we use the politics, so we use it in a different manner. We say there's some politics carrying on here. Right? There are some politics here, that's how we use the word. Now there's something wrong that's carrying on here. Something, some backdoor business carrying on, something that is not before everybody's eyes is taking place here, so just be careful. That's what we mean when we use the word politics. Or we say he's a very good politician, a very shrewd person. When we say he's a very good politician, he's a very shrewd person. This is how it is misused. But in Islam, the word siyasat or politics is used, it's used for a different reason altogether. It is used to show, alright, in this situation, what's the best maneuver? Like, look, in the Battle of Khandaq, Rasulullah had sent Sa'd ibn Mu'az and Sa'd ibn Ubadah to investigate the Banu Qurayza. The Banu Qurayza had entered into an alliance with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? That they will not fight any opposition. If there is an opposition of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they will not support the opposition. That was the alliance that they had entered into. But at the 11th hour, the word was out that these people had broken. They had breached the contract and they had sided the opposition. So this word was out. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent both these Sahaba Kiram, Sa'd ibn Ubadah, Sa'd ibn Mu'az, go and find out, go and investigate. With this instruction, if this is a rumor, if it's false, then announce it. Make it known to everybody. Right? That this was a rumor, and this must be announced. Right? But if this is false, then come and tell it to me discreetly. What was the reason for saying that? Now, if you study this, what was the reason for that? The reason for that is obvious. That if it was a false rumor, then the word has broken out that there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be afraid about, right? Because it was a false rumor. We haven't verified it with the leaders directly. But if it is true, it would create fear in the ranks of the army, Muslim army. So when it's going to create fear, panic in the Muslim army, then we need to understand how to control the situation. That they mustn't become panicky. Just now they will lose heart. And about the most important thing in a war is how firm and how stable you are, how strong you are. Are you steady? Are you firm? Are you confident of yourself? Do you have the necessary self-esteem? Or your courage is broken down? So that's a very important integral part, integral ingredient in war. So the Islamic definition and understanding of politics is totally different. And what is used nowadays for is totally different. So we are talking about the social aspect that a woman shouldn't arrange her marriage herself and the wrongs that can take place in that. like I explained to you, one is that she doesn't have all that access to all these things. Number two, the man puts up his best front. Number three, right, now imagine it's a woman, right? It's a spinster, it's a woman. She's come of marriageable age, 16, 17, 18, 19, she's come of a marriageable age. Now she must go to 10 men and try him out. Right, how are you? What's your CV like? And how are you like? How is this person like? Now imagine how many men she'll have to go through until she finds the right and suitable person for herself. In the meanwhile, there will be many people that will be just there for the convenience. If you've got someone now, let's put up our best front. 1-2 years, we'll just use it and finish, dump off that. So you see the Islamic approach versus the non-Islamic approach, the wrongs that can take place. But just say we don't apply our minds. Now it's a virgin woman. It's a respect, it's integrity. People will generally, the word will go out, well, she's been used by so many people. Whether she was used or not used, but the fact that she had contacted this person, and the third person, and the fourth person, they will say this, you know, this is this type of a woman. Now look at the Islamic approach. Islamic approach is the father or the guardian will take total control. Now he'll go and investigate, he'll see the person, find out the family background. Is he the suitable person? He's done everything. And eventually, when he finds the suitable person, suitable candidate, then he refers the person. He introduces the person to his daughter. Now, isn't this a respectable approach? So one is this, and the second thing is this, that Islam also advocates the aspect of kufu and the aspect of social standing. Is he of the same standing? The wife, or she's of one standing, and is the husband also of the same standing? Or are they of different, though totally different social standing? Islam advocates this as well. Now sometimes, in our limited knowledge, we jump into conclusions. You know, everybody's team is the side of Allah Ta'ala. So what is this? Rank differences. What are these rank differences? When everybody is identical, everybody is same in the side of Allah Ta'ala. Definitely everybody is same in the side of Allah Ta'ala. There's no such a thing that someone is greater in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of him just being a man, or just because of him belonging to a certain family, or just because of him speaking a certain language. No, that's not the reason for preference by Allah ta'ala. That he comes from a certain family, or he's belonging to a certain nationality, or a certain tribe, or a certain country. There's not a reason for preference. It's not a reason for virtue. So then what's the reason? As with respect to amal, good deeds of the hereafter, both are identical. Man and woman, both are identical. Respect to aspects that will bring you closer to Allah Ta'ala, you are both equal. You are both the same. Whichever family you belong to, whichever nationality you belong to, whichever race you belong to, whatever language you are speaking, but in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are absolutely identical. There is no difference. Not because you are an Arab, so you have any added advantage. No. You are identical. There is no additional favor that you have or advantage you have over the next. You are exactly the same. Identical. Brother Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayh, his contemporary was Habib Ajim. So, this Habib Ajami. Ajami refers to a person that is non-Arab. And he'd been living in incest all his life. All his life was incest. Him, he'll be dealing with some type of incest. Nazir Rahmatullah used to speak about him. He was so much strong in incest.
will have to go for an operation, right? At the second level, what do you need to do? After you've accepted that this is a problem, at the second level, you will have to submit yourself to the doctor. He'll give you a program, right? Then you'll have to submit yourself to that program. You can't only say to the doctor, no, I submit, I'm wrong now, what must I do now, you know. Doctor Saab, you know, today's woman now, some who are bajjas and all, you can't avoid, unavoidable. You can't use that as an excuse. So like the samosa and bhajia is not an excuse, the same way the business cannot be an excuse. It's bringing the destruction. So you need to ask, alright, what's the way forward? How do I come out of this? I know it's a problem. I've accepted, but now you show me a plan. You know how the complications that I am in. So show me a plan, how must I come out of this? So that's the second thing. And the third thing, then you have to submit yourself to the doctor's program. Whatever he's asked you to do, you have to submit yourself. With the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you submit yourself to that program, inshallah Allah ta'ala will restore your health and your life. But if you deny, you're going to a denier, you bring harm to none but yourself. You feel you're doing something great. You know, today's doctors, just forget them. They got their own stories. They just want to make money out of you. One little bypass, you must pay them 400,000 rands. You must start off with that. And then you can talk about a bypass. See? So you ignore it. Then you have to go through all the consequences. Then you have massive attack. Then it becomes irreparable. You can't correct yourself. Then it's your own problem. So the same happens with all these sins. You see, the worst thing in a sin is, like a wrong, right? Any wrong. Like a drug, a dependency, addiction. The guna also, it's the greatest wrong, the greatest evil in a sin is dependence and addiction. You became addicted to it. Now can you come out of it? It becomes very difficult. Why became addicted to it? I was telling someone today that you get this marital problems today, right? You get it in men and you get it in women as well. You get it in men, but equally you get it in women. Sometimes they are creating a problem, or sometimes they get into the marriage, and after a month, 2 months, 1 year, they can't manage it. So there are several reasons. Someday, inshallah, I'll explain all the reasons as I see it. But one of the reasons is, that the girls have assumed a male's role. They're going to high school, they're going to college, they're going to university, everything. You brought them to school till grade 8, then there's a license to go to high school. So that was the first wrong, that you brought them to that level. When they came to that level, they feel, now we have come already now on the doorstep, then why can't we progress? I mean, they have come to that point, now that is a license to their freedom. In that freedom, they have seen so many people. Whether they have done any wrong or not, but they have got the freedom to do like they want, to choose, to select, to talk to different types of people, right? Now when they spoke to so many people, they had experience with so many type of men, whether it was intimate or not intimate, so their tabiat, their disposition has changed, their whole nature has changed. How the nature has changed? The nature now is not going to be confined and comfortable with one single person. Because all its life, from the day it's matured, a woman is getting matured at about 11, 10, 11, right? From 11 till about 20, once she's qualified and everything, 20, 22, she's went through so many people. So she went through such a big variety. When she went through such a big variety and selection, now you confine her to one single person, will she be comfortable? All her life what she was used to, here, see this one. Now, you may just confine yourself to one karikichri. Is it possible? You know, you have so much of variety. Bhajia, samosa, biryani, khari kishti, kalya, all these things you have. Now you may just confine yourself to one. Is it a simple thing? Against a woman who had not gone through anything. It was the first person, now that's the last person in her life. She hasn't gone through anything. She's one, she's dedicated herself for one, and she's remained one. And she'll remain in one piece until her last day. So how easy that life becomes compared to this life. Now this life, it's a life that we have adopted of our own. We have preferred of our own. And we adopted, we preferred. Right? We prefer it with all its consequence. So when a root has been chalked out by Islam, the simple, straightforward method is just listen. Just listen. The wisdom of all this will come to you, will surface after many years, 20 years, 30 years down the line, then the wisdom will come. And before that, you won't see it. So the Western style is you have experimented yourself, and then you will see the wisdom. And Islam says, oh, you just listen to us. It is the designer of Islam is Allah Ta'ala himself. So he's designed you, he's created you. So he knows what's going to be the consequence on the way. He knows it exactly. This is going to be the one wrong, second wrong, third wrong. So how I'm taking you, just go exactly by that. You hold firmly to it, inshallah, life will be a pleasure. But if you are loose about it, you're trying to experiment with this, experiment with that, and experiment with the third thing, then your experiments only will begin to realize after 30 years. And after 30 years, you say, hey, I want to reverse this. Now it's too late. You've already got that passion. You've already got that type of tabiat that you want to be choosy. You want a variety. This person, you're too happy. That person, not too happy. Third person, fourth person. You want to try so many people. Afterwards, thereafter 50, 60, then you want to settle one person. It's too late. You see, when these type of addictions come into the life, then you'll find a person, man or woman, even at an advanced age, 55, 60, he still has got the tabiat of experimenting. Experiment with the second one, with the third one, rightfully or unrightfully, but they want to experiment all the time. So the simple way is, Allah Pak says, no, just do it this way, do it the straight way. When you do it the straight way, you'll be comfortable, you'll be relaxed, your mind will not be in a turmoil. But if you move out of the system, then definitely your mind will be in a turmoil. You will never be able to show the full happiness to your wife. Remember, when you were not truthful to Allah Ta'ala, you will not be able to show the full happiness to her. And she won't have the confidence in you. So tell me, do you have the inner happiness? You don't have the inner happiness. Why? You could not show all the love to her, and she didn't have all the trust in you. So both didn't love each other. So you don't have the full satisfaction and enjoyment of marital life, nor does she have the full satisfaction. You try to experiment, and she's also going to be trying to experiment. So the right way is just close your eyes, just listen to Allah Ta'ala. Then you'll find that you're not interested in anybody after that. When the man is like that, clean, and she is clean, one time says that one friend of his, ordinary person now, you don't expect everybody to be of a very high level of taqwa, extremely handsome, very, very handsome, very outstanding, you know, his features, his figure, everything, extremely handsome. So he hired a rickshaw. So the rickshaw driver, he had to stop at a certain place. So this person discovered that it was his wife, the rickshaw driver's wife. And now he began to admire the wife. He's admitting his own sin. Says, I'm going to buy his wife. And she was extremely beautiful compared to this rickshaw driver. This person was absolutely ugly. And I was extremely handsome and this girl is extremely beautiful. But she was not interested in me at all. Not for one minute she wasn't interested in me. All the happiness, all the tawajjuh, all the motivation, all the focus was just towards the husband. Nothing towards me at all. I thought I'll try and just catch her attention somehow or the other. But I said, no, she didn't give me a chance at all. Now this is when both are clean. She is absolutely clean and he is absolutely clean. You will see that both's focus, both's attention are on each other. She is not thinking of any stranger and he's not thinking of any stranger. فِيهِنَّ قَاسِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ لَمْ يَتْمِثُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ. Now this is the exact description of a Jannati woman. قَاسِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ. The sides are restricted only to the husbands. Restricted. Remember a woman like you've seen in the first night, right? Most Muslim, alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, all clean. But she's so bashful, she can't even lift her eyes up. Now that's inherent modesty. Now you'll have to play a game now, pull one finger, second finger. Eventually you get up. After so much of attempts that you bring up. Now that's a natural inherent quality of modesty that Allah Pak has blessed this woman. Because of the modesty that she's been living with, she's been used to, She's not used to any life besides that. And the Quran Sharif is speaking in praise about the same woman. فِيهِنَّ قَاسِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ. They lower their sights. Even in Jannat, their sights are restricted to the husbands only. How respected, how honored, how appreciated the man doesn't feel. Her sight is not moving to anybody. She's not casting glance to anybody. She's not admiring anybody. If she's admiring, it's only me. She's looking and it's only me that she's looking at and nobody else. So now, this is that Jannat on earth, heaven on earth. This is a real Jannat on earth. When she's behaving like she's supposed to be behaving and he's behaving like how he's supposed to be behaving, then it's Jannat on earth. So we are talking about the second aspect, and that is the equal, finding the equal. And I explained that with respect to the actions connected to the hereafter, there's equal opportunities both ways. Anybody, any language, any race, any nationality, any background, any country, but it's an equal opportunity. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala from Habsh, and Nabi Sam is hearing his footsteps ahead of him in Jannat. So Bilal al-Yawz is given an equal opportunity. The first person to accept Islam, Bilal al-Habsh radiyallahu anhu. First person to call the adhan on the roof of the Kaaba Sharif, Bilal radiyallahu anhu. Equal opportunity is got. Although in society, a slave and a black, he is looked down with contempt, but equal opportunity is given. Opportunity is given no less. Now it's a different thing, social standing. Now why does Islam recognize social standing? We need to understand this before saying, oh, why am I a second-grade citizen? Why am I being treated with contempt? Islam recognizes this for better living and for greater levels of unity. The greater levels of unity and better living and understanding can come in this compatibility. If there's no compatibility, then how are you going to enjoy a living, a lifestyle? You know, the kitabs have got that they gave examples. For example, a butcherman getting married to a perfumer's daughter. You know, I couldn't understand why they gave these two examples until I went to India, went to see one abattoir. Hey, the smell that I got from there, this example that they gave, they hit you on the head. Because I couldn't understand this. I couldn't understand it. I had to just run out of the place. Even for 1 minute, I couldn't stand this. Now, I am thinking to myself that this girl will have to of her life. Man is coming with all the meat, kalaji, his hand is messed up with whatever else, and is coming to the house. Now this woman has to put up with him. We're not running a butcher down, right? But what I'm saying is, how long can she manage? Ek tabhi karayat ho jati hai. She feels nauseous. How can she live with such a person? For him, it's absolutely a normal thing. But for her, it's not acceptable. Some people are very refined in their ways. Very, very refined. Right. One great Buzruk, I won't take his name. Very great Buzruk, right? Now look, I'm sure how refined some people are. He just saw once his wife, she just sneezed. And when she sneezed, the filth came down her nose. He couldn't approach his wife for the rest of his life. He felt so nauseous. So nauseous, so sensitive. Now we think the sensitivity is nothing. No, she also got a feeling. Sometimes you get some odd boy smoking, you know. So I'm thinking now how to correct these children, to get them out of this habit. So let them see. When you're going to get married, right, you have to be intimate. Do you accept or not? He said, I do accept. I have to get intimate. When you're going to be intimate, right, then your mouths will be together, right? Won't your mouths be together? If, for example, her mouth is smelling stench, real dirt, smell coming out of the mouth. You know. How will you feel towards her? You'll feel very nauseous, right? What's wrong? What came in my plate? What came on my plate? Now, like you will feel nauseous, if your mouth is smelling with cigarette, with tobacco, etc., then she will also feel equally nauseous. You think only you got feelings, she doesn't have feelings. Like you got feelings, she got feelings. You got emotions, she got emotions. You are sensitive, she's also sensitive. So you shouldn't feel that you only have the sensitivity she doesn't have, she's dead. So I asked one youngster after that, got married now, do you smoke after that? I said, no, no. From that day, every time I just about to take that cigarette, then I'm thinking, how she'll feel. I'm just about to take it, I'm thinking, how she feels. And that, up till now, 6 months have passed, kept me away. It's a little bit of reflection, that how the next person feels, how the next person takes it. So these type of things, you have to be very, very careful, very, very cautious. Now, see, Islam has recognized this thing. What? Equality. In your social standing, she's equal to you, right? Now look at it, just look at it. A case example. One is a prince. One is a princess, right? The princess. And she's getting married to a street sweeper. Can they enjoy that type of compatibility? One day, she will break out and she'll say, you know, you're lucky that being a street sweeper, you got a princess in your marriage. Won't she just freak out one day and say that? Now, if she has to freak out, tell me what will be the feelings of the husband. See what she feels of me. She's been keeping this about me for all these years. One day it had to come out. This is what he'll feel about her. So will that marriage last? Can't last. So Islam has respected all these type of feelings. Okay, this marital association that you have, it must be a lasting thing. It mustn't just be a thing for a convenience, one day, 2 days, and then the end of it. Now, how can it last? If it can last when these aspects are respected and honored. So we're reading the verse, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ. Rasulullah had got him married to his cousin Hazrat Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu anha. They carried on, but they couldn't see that they weren't as compatible. Whatever reason, Zayd tried, he came to complain, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ زَوْجَكْ وَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ. Just retain your wife in marriage. Don't divorce. وَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ. See Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right. But he could see he couldn't manage. Eventually he had to divorce. Right. He couldn't manage. And he had to give that divorce. So now, Allah Pak revealed these verses, several verses, but this verse here, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ. He is not the father of any of your men. Right. In other words, in the days of ignorance, this is how it used to be treated. If it's an adopted son, it would be treated like a biological son. So Islam had to come and clear the plane. But you see, the adopted son is not a biological son. So he can't be treated identically. He'll have to be called by his father's name so he knows his proper lineage. Don't confuse the person's mind. You're going to confuse the mind of the child. You're creating a complication for him. He doesn't know who his parents are. He doesn't know who he owes his allegiance to. So you're creating a confusion in the mind of this child. So don't do that. You attribute him to his own lineage. Call him by his father's name. Udumni Abaim. The second, now you'll have issues of parda, etc. Then all the laws of parda will apply here. He's not a real son. So all the laws of parda will apply. The laws of marriage will apply. If it is your biological son or biological daughter and adopted son, they can marry each other. So they'll have to apply all the laws of parda. So Islam had to come and clear these things. Just saying someone by word of mouth doesn't make it real. ذَلِكَ قَوْلُكُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِمْ قَوْلُهُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِمْ is just a word. It's a mannerism of speech. So you can't say now that a mannerism of speech takes the hukam of a qaida, of a rule. No. It's a different thing. This is a mannerism of speech. It doesn't become a law. You're speaking, your speech can become law. It can't become law. I just call you my son. So do you become my son? No. That's mannerism of speech. It's a different thing altogether. So then comes the law of inheritance. That he's an adopted son. He is not a real son. So he can't be an heir in the estate. So Islam had to come and clear all this. وَلَاكِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Lakin comes from istidrak. You know, you have rejected something. You have rejected something, but you want to clear the person's mind. That's what it comes for. That lakin, you know, but. It comes, you rejected something, and then you want to clear the mind of your addressee. So, what are you clearing his mind of? You're clearing his mind in this way. Alright, you say that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not the father of any of your men. We understood that. Because all Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sons had passed away in infancy. Tayyib, Tahir, Qasim, Ibrahim, all had passed away in infancy. So, he wasn't the father of any man. But then, the Nabi is the spiritual father of all the believers. Like his Azwaja Mutahharat are the mothers. Wa Azwaju Ummahatum. When the Azwaja Mutahharat are your mothers, then a Nabi is your father. Right. So, the Quran is clearing this. Walaki Rasulullah. So he's the Rasul of Allah. So he's not your biological father, but he's your spiritual father. It doesn't mean that if he's not your biological father, he's not your father. He is your spiritual father. Walaki Rasulullah. Every Rasul has to be a Nabi, whereas every Nabi doesn't have to be a Rasul. Therefore Allah says, wa khataman nabiyyin. Why he didn't say wa khataman rusul? Because every Nabi cannot be a Rasul, but every Rasul has to be a Nabi. Works one way, not the other way around. Because a Rasul is one who comes with an independent code of law. Independent divine book he comes up. Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Rasul alayhi salam. Independent code of law, independent book. وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Any person that claimed that I am divinely appointed, so from now onwards nobody will be able to make the type of a claim that I have been appointed and I am appointed divinely. You can't make the claim any longer. That just ended up with the business and finish. وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Why? He is the seal. You know, when a document is complete, it's complete, then you seal it up. When you seal it up, what do you mean? Now it cannot accommodate any additions. You seal it up, finish. Now you don't want to take anything, any addition. You sealed it in milk, you sealed it up. Condensed milk. Can you add anything to it? Can you comprehend that anything else can be added into this? It can't be added. So he sealed this entire galaxy of Anbiya. Finished. Sealed. Once and for all. Wa khataman nabiyyin. The second meaning of khatam, one is khatam is one who comes to complete. The second meaning of khatam is the one that is best in this whole galaxy, who is most outstanding, who is most perfect. Not to say that any anbiya, na'uzu billah, were incomplete. All were great. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the greatest. All were great. You won't say that anybody was deficient, na'uzu billah, in any respect. Everybody is great. All are like our uncles. The brothers of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But obviously Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is outstanding. He is the greatest of all. It's like light, you know. Light will have of different shades, different levels, different strength. You'll have a flicker of light. Then you have a torch, You have a pen light battery, right? You have a cell light you have, right? Then you have a globe, a bulb you have. Then you have a fluorescent. Then you have a floodlight. Then you have a searchlight, one higher than the other, right? Then you have the light of the star, higher than all. Then above the star, then the moon, what is visible to us. I'm not talking of scientific now, I'm talking of what is visible to us. Right? One is higher than the other. And above all the light is the light of the sun. Can you comprehend a light above the light of the sun? As though you're saying that everybody gets its light directly or indirectly from this. This is a source. So the greatness that you see in the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam is a reflection of the greatness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the greatness ends up here. That's as though the source, it's a base. It's a base of all greatness. Wa khatam al-nabiyyin. So when you say khatam has two meanings. One is to end something. And one is the perfection. The one that came to perfect. So like he came to end this whole series, then he came to show that he is the greatest. From all the series of the Anbiya, he's the greatest. There isn't going to be anybody that's going to be greater than him. If there's going to be a Nabi that's going to come down, he will not come down with a new appointment. He will come with a past appointment. He was appointed already. So he's coming as per a past appointment, not with a new appointment. So when you say he's sealed up the series of Anbiya, in other words, there's going to be not going to be any new appointment to the position of Nubuwwat. He came with a past appointment, not with a new appointment. Therefore the hadith says, see, this is an important topic. Like Hazrat used to say that every aspect of deen should be discussed. Sometimes we just confine it to one thing. Sometimes some doubts linger in our minds about Khatam al-Nabiyyin, etc., etc. And because of this Qadiani fitna, etc., that we don't realize what effect it has. Sometimes it's a Qadiani menace, sometimes it's a Shia menace. Right? Qadiani, the first aspect. In other words, the seal of the Nubuwwat, right? And I gave you the second meaning. The second meaning is the most perfect amongst the Anbiya. Now that is to eradicate and eliminate the Shia menace. Because the Shia believe that إِنَّ لِأَئِمَّتِنَا مَقَامًا لَا يَبْلُغُهُ نَبِيٌّ مُرْسَلٌ وَلَا مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبٌ. That our Imams, our 12 Imams, they enjoy such a position in the sight of Allah Ta'ala that even a Nabi cannot enjoy. Even the closest of Malaika, they don't have that position. So our Imams, they supersede the Rasulullah as well. So that's the belief. And what we are saying that the Quran says, you can't be as perfect. You can be great, you respect, being the progeny of the Wisdom, we respect you. But you can't be equal, you can't be anywhere near any Nabi. Forget Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you can't be even closer to any Nabi. Wa khatam al-Nabi. So this both menaces have been ended just with the single verse, wa khatam al-Nabi, in the single word. The Bani Israel, the system with the Bani Israel was different. And the system with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is different. The system with the Bani Israel was Tasusuhum al-Anbiya. The Anbiya used to manage their affairs, control them, manage their affairs, take care of them. Kullama halaka nabiyun khalafahu nabiyun. One Nabi passed away, another Nabi would come and replace him. Wa ana khatamun nabiyin na nabiyya ba'di. I am the seal of all prophets. There's not going to be a prophet after me. Now the question comes about, if Nabi Sam is the khatam and the seal of all prophets, then who's going to manage the affairs of the ummah right till the end of time? Because Nabi Sam said in another hadith, what he said, what he announced, that I've been favored in different ways. One of the favors that I've been given is other Anbiya were sent to communities, races, nations. I have been sent to all races for all times right till the day of Qiyamah. So there's not going to be any intermission from me right till the day of Qiyamah. There's not going to be intermission of any Nabi coming in. So now the question comes about, then who's going to manage these affairs? فَسَدْ يَكُونُ الْخُلَفَىٰ. So there will be someone that will be succeeding. A khulafa, khalifa is the one who succeeds. In other words, my mission, my work, my fikr, my concerns, there will be a lot of people that will be coming after me, that will be succeeding me. Ulama will be there. Awliya will be there. There will be various people in various departments that will be succeeding the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, will be succeeding Rasulullah in his fikr, in his concern, in his endeavor. There will be those people that will be succeeding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And what was his fikr, what was his concern, they will take it across. So don't worry about that. Allah Ta'ala will take care of that. But you get your belief right. You get your iman right. Wa khatam al-nabiyyin. Now the question that can come about to any unwary person is, but why did Allah Ta'ala allow all this to happen? You know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had got Zayd radiallahu anhu married to Zainab bint Jahash, and then the marriage didn't work out, and then there was a divorce. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had sent a proposal, and then Allah Ta'ala joined her in marriage to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why did he have to go through all these procedures? Where people could have said, you know, could have labeled, na'uzubillah, that he got married to his daughter-in-law, for example, na'uzubillah. Because that was an ancient pagan belief. That was an ancient pagan belief. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. Allah Ta'ala has full knowledge of all situations, everything. When we believe in Allah Ta'ala, we believe He has all knowledge. He has got all wisdom. He's got all beauty. The best planning, right? There can't be any planning that is above the planning of Allah Ta'ala. There can't be any beauty that is above the beauty of Allah Ta'ala. Any excellence above His. So when He's planned this, and He had full knowledge, and there was nothing deficient in His wisdom, then this question is not applicable. He's planned it, He's designed it. His knowledge is the most perfect. His understanding is the most perfect. His beauty and excellence is the most perfect. So he has designed this. When he has designed this, then this question doesn't apply. Allah has offered us.